Blog Talk Radio.
Then I am left with.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to edition of Daytime After Dark for Wednesday, May 17, 2017. We have a great guest on tonight, Wesley Inwu. God, I hope I'm saying that right. He was on Days of a Life back in the day. He's been on Primetime, and I think he was with one of the Monkey People. So, yes, and like I said, please don't hesitate to call in. Press 1 if you want to talk to Wesley and myself. This is Carly, and the number is 347-850-8721. And please press 1 if you want to talk to us. Here's Wesley, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Hey, Carly, how are you doing?
Good. So I was reading your biography, not your book, but biography all about you. And so I read.
It's way more than you ever wanted to know about a person.
No. See, I'm curious. I'm like that. I'm like, what? You know, it's almost like my job is like I'm a therapist. In a little way, because everyone just feels their guts to me. Somehow I have that brainwash effect over people. So, yes. But, yeah, while I was reading, were you involved with the Monkees, or what was that whole thing in your career about?
Well, the first TV series I ever got cast in was a show called The Organic Vegetables, starring Kay Ballard, the comedian. And it was produced by the Monkees. And it was, we started filming. Kay Ballard owned an organic food restaurant, and we were the waiters and waitresses, we became a band, and I became the lead singer drummer of this band. And we started filming, and the show got canceled before we went on the air. And I never got to meet Kay Ballard. Remember, she was on The Mothers-in-Law and all sorts of great shows. And so years later, I moved to Palm Springs. I'm at a party. Kay is at this party, and I go up to her, and I said, Kay, you don't know me, but my name is Wesley York. She goes, I know who you are. I watch you on TV. I said, but you and I were on a TV series, my very first television show I ever got in Los Angeles, called The Organic Vegetables. And she started laughing, and she said, oh, my God, I don't even remember it. So last week, Kay's become a good friend over the years. But last week, I got asked to do a cameo in a new movie starring William Shatner, Christopher Lloyd, and Gene Smart called Senior Moment. And it's been filmed in Palm Springs. And they asked me if I'd do a cameo. And they said, by the way, do you know of any other celebrities in Palm Springs that might like to be in the show? So I called Kay, who's 92 years old now, in fabulous health, still performs. And I called and said, Kay, you want to be in a movie with William Shatner, Gene Smart, and Christopher Lloyd? She goes, sure. So I got her booked. And so it's fun. So at the beginning of my career, I started with Kay Ballard. And I think I probably got her very last movie. so she was thrilled. So everything comes full circle.
Well, you know, it really does in the Hollywood business. And then when I found out that, you know, you were the comedy stops, but it started Valerie Bertinelli, who I love. I love Valerie Bertinelli. I love her. I'm obsessed with her. Okay, obsessed might be the wrong word, but I adore her. How was working with her?
Well, Valerie was amazing. This was a movie called Chomps, which was produced by Hanna-Barbera. It was like a Disney movie, and it stood for Canine Home Protection Systems, and it was, I invented a mechanical watchdog that looked just like my real dog, and Valerie was my girlfriend, and it co-starred Red Buttons, Jim Backus, all these major stars, So I got to give Valerie Bertinelli her first, very first ever screen kiss in the movies. So that was wonderful. And I remember I ran into her recently within the last year, and we got to see each other. And in Hollywood, a Bobcat Goldthwait, if you know who, he's a comic, who's this really outrageous comic. There's a comedy club in Los Angeles, and once a month they air horrible movies. And they'll air the movie, ask some of the stars to come to the movies, and the audience gets to comment on it and make fun of it. And so Bobcat picks Chops as the movie. He says, it's not a bad, in fact, it's a really good movie. He said, but it's just one of my favorite movies. So I went into Hollywood, and they had the audience were screaming and yelling lines during the movie and insulting everybody. It was very funny. And Valerie couldn't come. She was doing a show in New York. And most of the other stars are now passed away, with Red Buttons and Jim Backus and all these amazing, amazing stars.
Oh, yeah, because it also said you were with Conan Bain. He was on Different Strokes, right?
Oh, Conrad Bain, yes. He was. He played the dad on Different Strokes.
I
remember when we filmed Chomps, he was still working on the very first script for Different Strokes. He kept turning down scripts because he said they weren't good enough. And of course he was right, because he kept pushing the envelope, and suddenly, you know, Different Strokes with Gary Coleman and Todd Bridges became a Dana Plato became a huge show.
Oh God, yeah. Well, lately, like I go on these kicks, Wesley, like, where I have Comcast, so it's on demand. And for the last couple of weeks, I've been watching Different Strokes. Don't know why, but it's still hilarious today, as it was, like, you know, when it first started. And I just, you know, I totally love that show, and it made me sad, you know, knowing that almost everyone from that cast has passed away. Except,
I know. Todd Bridges is the only one left.
Oh, but also, you know, the first housekeeper that did the spinoff of Facts of Life. Then I was, she has brain cancer or something. I'm like, well, I thought I was, you know, really sad. But yeah, you have worked with a lot of really good people, and like, I'm music, TV, whatever. For me, when I read that you became friends with Song Cassidy and Lee Garrett, and some of the music was produced by the great Bobby Seumann. And how was that?
Well, back in the day when I was on Days of Our Lives for 9 years, I played my court on Days of Our Lives, and then shortly after I started Days of Our Lives, I got a TV series called Land of the Lost on NBC with dinosaurs and Tlisek and Pakuni Chaka, and I played Will Marshall, and so I was doing all the Tiger Beats and magazines and Teen Beats, 16 Magazine, all those. So we, you know, back in the day, we all kind of hung out together. Leif Garrett and Sean Cassidy, David Cassidy, you know, even the DeFrancos, when they were there, that one-hit wonder. But all those guys, we would go to parties and see each other. And Sean used to come over, and with Leif, this is before Sean was a star. His brother was the biggest star on television.
Mm-hmm.
He would come over swimming in my house with Leif.
So
back in the early 70s. And then of course David Cassidy was huge, and then at the end of the run of the Partridge Family, I got a call to ask if I would replace David Cassidy in the Partridge Family. He had decided to leave the TV series because he had had enough, and so they had me come in to sing for ABC, and Bobby Sherman worked with me on the recording, and they cast me as his next door neighbor, best friend, and he was going off to college, and Shirley was going to marry the guy that played my dad, and I was going to become part of the Partridge Family. But David heard about it, and he decided to stay on the show, and that was the last season of the show, so I never got to be in the Partridge Family.
mean people know. I mean, I'm kidding. But, no, I think that's awesome. And then when I read, you know, about, you know, this really blew me, Philip, about you singing with Jackson 5. Now, that in itself is awesome. Really
well,
awesome.
I didn't sing with the Jackson 5. I recorded for Motown. Mike Kerb, who became the lieutenant governor of California years ago, but the Mike Kerb was a big song producer, major, and there were four guys, there were four white boys, and they put us together, and we started recording. And obviously you never heard of us because it didn't go anywhere. But I did get to say that I got to record for Motown, which is quite an honor, I must say. And in Land of the Lost, if you remember the theme song to Land of the Lost, I sang that. It was Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition that the greatest earthquake ever known. High on the rapids, it struck their tiny raft. Plunged them down 1,000 feet below to the land of the lost. So I sang that, and it was produced by Michael Lloyd, who was one of the guys in the group with me in Motown. And then Michael became one of the biggest all-time producers. He still is. And produced Michael Jackson and a lot of the Jacksons and other major, major stars.
Well, yeah, and, you know, that is, like, everything you've done, you know, is awesome because your career has gone so long and everything, and,
I've been very lucky, Carly. I've been very lucky.
Well, yes.
You know.
But I will be honest with you. Okay, you played Mike Colton. But the problem is, Wesley, I was not born yet. you know, because I'm like, you know, because when David told me about you, I'm like, awesome. And then I'm thinking in my brain, oh. And then I tried YouTube and, like, YouTubed, you know, your time on Days of Our Life, and I could not find it, and I got mad at YouTube.
Well,
you
know,
it
was back in the 70s and early 80s, and, you know, they weren't recording very much back then. But, you know, there's a great clip. There's a wonderful clip from Days of Our Lives. If you go to YouTube and type in Days of Our Lives, the song Always, you know, it was I'll Remember You Always.
Yeah.
And it's all the original cast with Bill and Susan, with Francis Reed and McDonald Carey, everybody, Patty Weaver, Patty was when I first got on Days of Our Lives, a wagon fell on my chest and crushed it. Then I found out that my father wasn't my father. He was really my uncle because my uncle had raped my mother years ago at the hospital. Then I had an affair with Trish. The mafia was after me. Then I was having sexual problems. I thought I was gay, so I had an affair with my father's ex-lover, Linda, to prove I was okay. Then I married a girl. She got leukemia and died, and that was the first week of the show. It was terrible.
Wow.
I'm joking, of course. I'm, of course. But those really are things that happened while I was on Days of Our Lives.
Well, you know, I mean, I love Days. I watch Days. You know, I'm grateful now that, you know, because I always tell all my actor friends, you know, if they had DVRs and TiVos when I was growing up, I would have actually been in school. I had come a lot more because I had to find out what was going on in Salem and Post Solace, but then I had to find out later on what was going on with, like, all of them. And so I always think, you know, I'm, like, out, you know, I outed myself. And, I mean, I would never outed myself.
Right.
But my brother kind of outed me, kind of outed both of us. So,
right.
You know, I mean, I'm like, okay, then I might as well tell the truth. But back when you were on, how was working with Francis Reed and Montgomery Carey? I love them.
They were amazing. Mac McDonald, Mac, I used to call him. Everyone called him Mac. He really was like a grandfather to me. I played his grandson. And Francis Reed was... She was a pistol to work with. I remember one Christmas, she would not have a Christmas tree. She because of World War II, it was a German tradition, and she was angry. She'd lost a lot of friends and family in World War II. And so she was having a big Christmas party at her home in Brentwood, California. And she asked me to come help her set up before everybody was coming over. And so I did. So I had an old Ford Courier truck. And I was driving up on Mulholland Drive, which is the top peak in Hollywood, which separates the valley from Hollywood and Beverly Hills. And I'm driving my Ford Courier going over to Francis's house to help set up in the afternoon. And this giant tumbleweed comes rolling across the roadway. It's a little, and I got out of my truck. I grabbed this huge tumbleweed. I tied it into my truck. I went to the store and I bought white Christmas lights and red bows. And I go to Francis's house. And she has this gorgeous home in Brentwood, you know. She's having this big party. It's all swanky. It's all catered. So just the two of us. And I knock on her door, and I come in, you know, and I said, Francis, you got to have a Christmas tree. And she says, I'm not going to have a Christmas tree. I told you I refuse to have a Christmas tree. I said, okay. I said, well, I got something for you. She goes, what did you get me? And I go, Francis, I got you a Christmas tree. She says, I don't want a Christmas tree. I said, wait a minute. It's a tumbleweed. So I pulled this tumbleweed. It was huge. It was bigger than me. I pulled this tumbleweed into the house, to her patio. And she says, she said, you can't bring that in my house. I said, well, let me decorate it here. She says, no. I said, let me decorate it. So I put the white lights on. I put the red bows on. She was in there doing something in her house. I plugged in the lights. She came out. She took one look at that beautiful tumbleweed all lit up on Christmas Eve. And I remember, she just looked at me. She says, okay, you can put it in the living room. And I put the tumbleweed into her living room, and she told me that for many Christmases after that, that was her Christmas tree.
That is awesome. I mean, that is, you know, because I'm thinking in my mind, wait a moment, she didn't want a Christmas tree, but every year for Days of Our Lives, they have the, you know, Christmas tree with all the, decoration, I mean, all the names. Yeah, ornaments. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's such a tradition. Like, if they stop that, you know, I might be having to go to L.A. and hit someone because that is an awesome, like, tradition. And, you know, and I was thinking because my host, Maggie, and I were talking. And, you know, Melissa Reeves, you know, Jennifer Houghton played your sister, but you didn't get to work with her back in the day because, you never worked with her. Did you work with Melissa Reeves or not?
With who?
Melissa Reeves, that played your sister, Jennifer Houghton.
No, I did not. Jennifer, they played Jennifer?
Yeah.
No, she was a baby, a little baby when I, a little tiny girl when I left the show.
Because
I was on with Patty Weaver, who went over to Young and the Restless, and then Tracy Bregman, who's now at Young and the Restless. Tracy started as a young actress over at Days of Our Lives. I was just at an autograph show. We were signing autographs from the cast of Land of the Lost, and I got to sit next to. Deidre Hall was there, and Bill Hayes and Susan Seaforth, and Gloria Loring, and Patricia Darby, and Kevin Spiritus. So we all sat next to each other, and we had a ball. It was so much fun because I'm very good friends with Bill Hayes and Susan Seaforth. Still, we talk a lot.
Oh well, you do. Well, next time you talk to Bill, please tell him Carly says hi. He's been on the show. But Carly wants to have them back on the show because, and Susan, if she wants to, I love them. They've been on, you know, you should get their book. It was really insightful and everything. But, yeah, I mean, the names, I've been to the Seaforth. And then, you know, I've been to Gloria Loring. In fact, she's coming on the 30th. Of
nice.
May. So yeah, so it's just like half of the people you were mentioning, I'm like, oh, I've got some of them on my show.
Absolutely.
Awesome. But,
you know, they just did a documentary on Bill's life, It premiered at his church in North Hollywood about 2 weekends ago. They had a big premiere, and I think Tiger by the Tail, I think that's the name of it. And, you know, Bill Hayes, of course, you know, when I was a little boy, before I was on Days of Our Lives, I used to watch Davy Crockett, and that song, Davy Crockett, uh-huh. King of the Wild Frontier, Bill Hayes sang that song originally. And so I, you know, then I got to meet Bill Hayes. But when I was growing up in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and my grandmother's favorite show was Days of Our Lives. And she would watch it ironing every day. And I was just this little bitty kid. And so every time I would watch Days of Our Lives when I got older, I could smell an iron burning, because it was always the smell of my grandmother's iron burning on that ironing pad that she used. And she my grandmother passed away just before I got Days of Our Lives. She would have been happy to have seen me on that show. She would have just, I think it would have blown her world.
Well, yeah, and you know, oh my God, I mean, it's so sad that she passed away and she didn't get to see you. But you know, like I tell everyone, Days of Our Life, all the soaps are passed down from generation. Yeah, my grandma got me started, and got me and my cousin started on Days of Our Life, and I mean, you know, that was the 1 hour. If my grandfather came in asking anything, I think she would have killed him, because it's like, he goes, what's for dinner? And I would be watching him with her, and I looked at him, I'm like, do you want to live tonight, or do you want to die? So then he would walk out. But, you know, because, you know, I mean, back then, I mean, you couldn't rewind what the person said. I mean, not like here. Now that you could rewind it, and, you know, if you were interrupted for like a minute, then, you know, people did not get mad at you. But back then, yeah, people would get mad at other people for interrupting them, I think.
Absolutely. You know, when I first got on Days of Our Lives.
So, for Days, you know, the whole like you said, for years, you know, really, we didn't really know if Mike was the brother, I mean, the two brother, Mickey and Bill.
Didn't know whose son I was. It was Mickey or Bill or Mickey's. John Clark played Mickey, and Ed Mallory played Bill Horton. And that's when a wagon fell on my chest and crushed it, and they found that my blood type matched Mickey, who I thought was my uncle, and it turned out he was my father.
That is awesome.
No, the reverse. I'm sorry, it was the reverse. Found out that it was Ed Mallory that was my father, because he had had an affair with Laura at the hospital that they worked at when she was married to Mickey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and I mean, that was like a timeless, you know, story that, you know, they still do until this day. I mean, you know, the paternity stories are always, you know, people's, you know, love of soaps. And, you know, it's always kind of interesting when someone sleeps with someone else. And then, you know, it happens. But I thought you, as a character, Mike Horton had so many layers to him. And it was just, you know, almost good to see, you know, throughout the years what he did. And if you ever want me to try to get you back on Days of Our Life too, you know, so you can go back playing your role, just let me know, because I think you should go back. I mean,
I miss Days. I miss it. It was like my family. I grew up on that show. I spent my entire 20s working on Days of Our Lives, and I miss it. I'll tell you, if you get me back on, you know, I would love that. But it was such a great family.
Well, yeah, because I don't know if he was on the same time you were. My friend James Reynolds, who played Abe on Days of Our Life, I don't know if he was on at the same time as you.
He is.
Oh God, he would be awesome for you to work with. But, you know, yes, I will try and do what I can do because I think we need Mike Houghton back on Days of Our Life because
I think you're right.
Mike has
You're making good sense now.
Yeah, well, Mike has been MIA for a couple of years. You know, Africa,
you know,
I just got to see Gloria
Loring. Remember Gloria Loring?
Yes.
She, of course, married to Alan Thicke, and, of course, Alan passed away recently. But Gloria was just doing a one-woman show here in Palm Springs. She was doing the Ann Landers show. She played Ann Landers in a one-woman show, the woman who knew everything, you know, Dear Abby. Dear Abby. And so I just got to see Gloria again, and it was so wonderful to spend time with her. And Patty Weaver, who played my girlfriend, played Trish, and I played Mike. She's become this amazing artist and showing her artwork in Los Angeles, which is extraordinary. And I got to see Patty. I went to a function for Regis Philbin a few weeks ago in Hollywood. They were doing a tribute to Regis. And Patty
really?
Was there, and Gloria Loring was there. It was wonderful.
Wow. So, wait, are you saying that you still keep in contact with Patty Weaver at all?
I am. I'm in contact with Patty.
Okay, I will get
you
back on
date. I just talked
to her
3 days. I just talked to Patty 3 days ago.
Okay, I will get you on dates or try to. Will you please?
Okay, you got it.
Please, no. We have a little deal to make. See, I'm cute. I would love to interview Patty Weaver. I've been such a fan of hers for so long, and I would love to interview her.
Well, I will contact Patty and have her call you.
Awesome. And, okay, my grandma wanted me to ask you something. So, Alice Houghton, your grandmother, was famous for the donuts, you know, throughout the years, the really good donuts. By any chance, did Frances ever, like, okay, were the donuts a real thing, or could Frances really cook? Because, you know, Alice Houghton with her donuts was amazing, and I've always tried to get the recipe because it looks really good on Days of Our Life, but I didn't know if it was. And
you know
Alice
what?
Houghton,
I don't know. She didn't make a lot with when I was around. Other than going to her house for those Christmases and Christmas parties with the tumbleweed Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
I was never at her home, so I never got to, sit down with her and have dinner.
Yes. You know, and before we take calls, and I don't want people to kill me with sleep policy. Okay, what was really interesting about your career was I love game shows. I'm a game show-aholic. You know, maybe I should be in a 12-step program, but, you know, I love the Price is Right and all of it. But you were on Password and the Massey Game. And
I was.
Yeah, but you got to work with Betty White. You got to.
I was really lucky. I started working on Password, and the first time I played Password, I pulled into NBC, and they had given me Johnny Carson's parking spot. They'd put my name over Johnny Carson's when he was doing The Tonight Show at the lot. I was like, oh, my gosh. And right next to me was Elizabeth Montgomery's name parked. Her car was parked. And I went, oh, because Elizabeth Montgomery was the best Password player ever. She was vicious. And my first time ever on Password, I had to play against Elizabeth. And over the years, I became a regular on Password, and I played probably once every 2 months, 1 week every 2 months or so. And I played against Betty White, who was extraordinary. I played against Vicki Lawrence, everybody, a whole bunch of slew of people. And I had so much fun. It was the best kind, and I got to play with Alan Ludden. just before he passed, that's when I started working on Password. And so we became very good friends. And then, of course, he passed away. And I remember the day Alan was being buried at Forest Lawn, which was just around, just a few miles from NBC Burbank. I couldn't go to his funeral because I was hosting my very first game show pilot for NBC, a show called Pot of Gold. And Alan did this really crazy thing. When I was doing Password in the makeup room, he would take an eyebrow pencil and he would go, "Wesley, look at this, watch. If you put a little dark line under the tip of your bottom lip, it makes them look fuller." And so I remember the day that Alan was being buried. I'm about to host my first game show ever, and I'm telling you the truth. He was a good friend. I was crying. I couldn't go to the funeral. And I remember sitting there in the makeup chair with my eyebrow pencil, and I drew the little line under my bottom lip, and I started crying. And I go, "Alan, this is for you." And so Alan was a big part of my life, and Betty was extraordinary. And then of course we went on to all the different hosts that went on to host the show, and I continued to do it. And I was lucky enough to be on most of the game shows back then. And Match Game was outrageous. If you go to YouTube, you can see clips of me on Password and Match Game, and Chain Reaction and the different shows. But I've had so much fun. I loved doing it.
I love, game shows and, Password and the Match Game has been back for the last 2 years, and I love that they brought both of them back. I love it when they, bring, game shows back. I mean, they are going to try and bring Love Connection back on Fox.
I know.
So for me, it's just seeing, how they do it. And I think you should call ABC and demand that you need to be on Password or the Match Game, a good job.
Well, I love it. And I was lucky enough, I always wanted to host my own game show. And so a few years later, for Nickelodeon, I hosted their number one game show called Finders Keepers, which ran for 2 seasons. And it was the number one show on Nickelodeon for several years. And it was an outrageous game show for little kids, where two little kids, I showed them two teams, and I had a hidden picture, and they had to circle the object that was hidden in the picture. And if they got it right, they got to go into, we had this giant two-story set. It was an IMAX theater, and so there were 8 rooms, 4 rooms on top, 4 rooms on bottoms, and each room was different. Like, one was like a mom and dad's bedroom, one was like Alibaba's bedroom, one was like a prehistoric cave, and they won the right to go into these rooms, and I would give them a clue. There were two kids, and I would say, like, "Grandma takes these out at night, and they're looking for, like, false teeth." And they had 60 seconds, and they could trash the room. They could tear it up. Everything was breakable. Everything. So they would just go start throwing things and breaking pots and glasses. And, of course, they were all breakaways, so they would hurt the kid. And they would try to find the false teeth. And the show became so popular, they had a home version of it. And the parents hated it because the kids were trashing their room. They were hiding objects and then trashing their room. It was so much fun.
I mean, that is awesome. And, okay, we better take calls because, like I said, people might want to help my neck. And I'm sort of liking my neck these days. So, yeah. Let's bring on the guy that started this whole thing. I'm getting you on here. Here's David.
Hi, Wesley.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Dave Bird, your dumb Facebook friend. How you doing?
How are you?
Okay.
I'm having a slight trouble hearing, but.
Okay, I'm David. I'm your Facebook friend.
Hi, David. How are you? Nice to talk to you.
Come here. Okay, what was like some of the answers off? Some of the things that happened. What was like some of the answers off?
To film Land of the Lost?
It was like.
Oh, it was great. it was, you know, what was fun was I, for 3 years, I did Land of the Lost. But I also did Days of Our Lives, too, at the same time. So
yeah,
I had two TV series. So for the 3 years that I did Land of the Lost, they were both NBC shows. So NBC would let me do all my scenes on Days of Our Lives in the morning, early, which made the other cast members hate me because I got to get out early. And then I would leave the set at NBC, Days of Our Lives, and go over to General Services or Goldwyn, whichever, depending on which year we were shooting, go over there and film Land of the Lost. And it was the best job. So in the morning, I'm crying that my girlfriend is leaving me, and we're having a fight, and she hates me. And in the afternoon, at the afternoon, I'm running away from dinosaurs going, "Run, Holly, run, there's a dinosaur." So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it was, we had Sleestak, the green monsters and lizards, and all these incredible characters. So it was great. And it was written by the Star Trek writers, David Gerrold, who was the head writer. David, if you're a Star Trek fan, you'll know that the episode, the original episode, Trouble with Tribbles.
Yes, yes.
And David created the Tribbles, and he was our head writer, and we had all the great sci-fi writers from D.C. Fontana to Sturgeon, everyone who was somebody in the sci-fi wrote for Land of the Lost. So I
also,
was
I be kissed by Brett Summers? Was that rehearsed, or did you kissed by her? Was that rehearsed?
There's a clip on YouTube where Brett Summers, I go in for a kiss for Brett, and she's going, I never get love or something. Goes, "I'll love you, Brett," something like that.
I
give her this. So go to YouTube and just type in Wesley, you're Brett Summers match game, and you'll see the little clip. It's a lot of fun. Nothing was rehearsed on that show. I think they were all.
Oh.
I think they were all drunk. I was. Charles Nelson Reilly was on. Everybody was on that show.
I remember. And do you have a favorite storyline or plot on Deep Dive you was part of?
Did I what?
Do you have a favorite storyline or plot you were part of on Days?
Do I have a favorite storyline?
Yes, on Days
yes.
that you were part of.
Oh, absolutely. I love my scenes with Patty Weaver a lot, Trish. And I remember when the Mafia was after us. I loved that. And I was always fighting off my cousin, David Banning, who was played by Richard Guthrie. And, Patty is an amazing singer. She is probably one of the best singers I've ever heard. She used to open for in Vegas. In fact, years ago, I used to open for Bill Cosby at Harrah's in Vegas. So I remember the first day Patty was going to sing on television on Days of Our Lives. She'd never done it before. She's a young girl. And she comes to me, she's so scared, and I wasn't in the scene where she was supposed to be singing. She said, "But Wesley, would you sit behind the camera and I'll sing to you?" Because she was so scared. And so I sat behind the camera, and so Patty sang her very first song on national television to me. And, of course, she went on to do albums, and she's extraordinary. She used to sing at Doug's place on Days of Our Lives, and then, of course, went to Young and the Restless and and she married one of the head writers of Bold and the Beautiful. So she's had quite a career.
Thanks for my question. And welcome to the show. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, David.
Okay, David, we will put you back on hold, buddy. And Bobby, you're here, Bobby.
Hey, Carly. Hey, Wesley.
Hey, Bobby. How are you?
Fine. First of all, Wesley, for the first 10 years of my life, you basically was like the television thing of my life. I mean, I was too young for Days at the time and kind of a little too young to watch the original Magic Game because of the fact that it was not as bad as this edition of Magic Game, but all I can say is not your mama's Magic Game if you watch the one with Alan Ball.
Exactly. I agree.
But I wanted to say, watching you on Land of the Lost, watching your buddy Deidre Hall over on the Electric Woman Dino Girl show during that time as a baby, and then watching you on Finders Keepers after school during my school years, and along with Double Dare was probably pretty neat because you got a chance to work with a lot of people and a lot of the kids that you had on as contestants probably maybe more familiar with their brothers and sisters watching you on Land of the Lost or Days of Our Lives than themselves watching the show itself.
I agree with you. I had a fun story about Deidre Hall when she was on Dinah Girl. You know, Deidre played a superhero on Dinah Girl, and that was a Sid and Marty Krofft show. You know, they did Sigmund the Sea Monster, Lidsville Puff and stuff, and Land of the Lost. So I'm on Land of the Lost set one day. We're filming, and Deidre Hall comes over. She's filming Dinah Girl. And she says, "Wesley, I hear you're on Days of Our Lives." I go, yeah, I'm on Days of Our Lives. She says, "I have an audition to play Marlena, Dr. Marlena." And she says, and I said, "Well, Deidre, I know what they're looking for. I know what they look for in an audition." So Deidre and I started working together on her scene, her audition for Days of Our Lives. And, of course, fade in, fade out, she became the biggest star on Days of Our Lives and still is. And, I always like to think I had one small little nano help that I got to help her get the job on Days of Our Lives. Of course, she would have gotten it on her own because she's so talented. But I at least got to have that moment with Deidre when she was before she auditioned for Days of Our Lives. So we still have that in common, which I love.
Yeah. Now, what was your reaction when they made the movie version with Will Ferrell? Because it didn't do as good as the original version. I'm fearing that after what they did with Chip, that Baywatch is going to end up the same way. But what was your reaction to when Will Ferrell did the movie version? Because first of all, it looked more like it was a comedy than an action Saturday morning show, because knowing Will's style. And other than hearing Will's commendative speeches, it wasn't the Will Ferrell that we have heard in recent days with the commendative speeches, where he was more funny and stuff like that. That was Will's style.
I agree. I can tell it really simply. Sid and Marty Krofft, who of course produced the show and sold the show, we were at Comic-Con a few years ago. I was a special guest there, and it was right after the movie had come out. And Sid and Marty said, "We apologize. We blew it." And it was horrible. It was, you know, Will Ferrell, it was a great guy. He was really good to me on the set. I did a cameo with Will, Kathy and I, who played Holly. And then that got cut because they changed the whole ending of the movie. And, it wasn't – the thing about Land of the Lost is that made it work was, first of all, it was good sci-fi written by Star Trek writers. I know the effects are cheesy now, but at the time they were state-of-the-art. And it was about a family. It was about a family that lost their mom, and they were bonded together, and that's what made the show work. It was the chemistry with the family and these greats with Enoch and the Sleestak and Chaka and Zarn and all these wonderful characters, and that's what makes the show hold up even today, most of the episodes. I know it looks goofy, but it's still if you listen to the script, it still holds up. But Sid Mycroft apologized. And I just talked to Sid about 2 weeks ago. He called me for something. And he said they're talking about doing a remake based on the original story of Land of the Lost for television again.
Right. Because I know that in the 90s they did that, but this came at the same time that Jurassic Park was out.
Right. Exactly.
But it was great to actually relive my childhood years of watching you and watching Mark do your things on your respective game shows and everything else, and I still respect Mr. Mark Summers, the way he's done on the Food Network
Mark is amazing. You know, he's a big producer now, and it's just wonderful to watch his work.
But it seems like whenever I watch his Food Network show, I'm just like going, where can I get that stuff around here? Because it's a rarity unless I go 500 miles out of the way to somewhere in Indiana for it.
Right. Exactly.
But listen, you have a great night. And if you ever think about bringing back Finders Keepers or Double Dare, just feel free to, because I'm sure we'll encourage some of the friends I knew that watched you on the original to have their kids on there or their grandchildren on there.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, you can watch it on YouTube also. A lot of the episodes, if for those out there who never got to see it on Nickelodeon, just go to YouTube and type in Finders Keepers.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Simon. Because I really
thank
like
you
to
so
maybe
much.
Look at the pre rock Alanis Morissette clips from You Can't Do That on Television while I'm on there, and compare it to what she was when she was a big rocker in the 90s versus when she was an actress in the 80s on that show.
Exactly.
Anyway, you have a good night, and you take care. And I'll
thank you
stick
so
around.
Much.
Thanks for
calling in. I appreciate it.
All right. And I'll stick around.
Okay,
probably.
Bobby, I will put you back on. Okay, Maggie and Joy. Hey, Maggie.
Hey. Hi, Leslie. Hi, Carly.
Hey, how are you?
Hello.
Hanging in there. Thank you very much
for
coming on tonight.
Well, listen, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. It'd be horrible doing a show if
uh-huh.
somebody calls in.
Yeah, I mean, my idols were Betty White, and they were unbelievable. And I was so interested when they got the romance, both of them. And were you there when they got engaged for that?
No. I knew them at the end of their life, at the end of Alan Ludwig's life. I knew them the final several years of their life. And then I used to do fundraisers with Betty. You know, she was very active in animals, for Actors and Others for Animals.
Animals.
So, and so I would go and make appearances for her to raise money back in the day.
Wow, that would be it's wonderful, because I know it's our pet project for little fur babies. Wow.
Yeah.
But Land of the Lost, I truthfully like that better than the movie. Cause,
yeah, me too.
I wasn't into the movie. I mean, I saw it with my sons, and I go, okay. But then Land of the Lost was on TV, and that was, to me, more exciting.
David Gerald, who wrote the original Land of the Lost, our head writer, he's written a new novel that's almost finished. And it takes...
Really?
Marty Croft said at Comic-Con, he said, I will do the movie based on David's book. And the book is about, it's 40 years later, and when Holly and Will went in with their father to the Land of the Lost, they had a little brother
right.
who was just a baby,
mm-hmm,
and
he
didn't come on the ride. So 40 years mm-hmm. later, he has two daughters, and he comes looking for her. So hopefully
that
is
awesome.
Oh, I gotta see that. I have to.
I know. David said he's almost finished with the book. You know, David, one of the top sci-fi writers on the planet, and
right.
he's written this new novel. So,
that would be great. I mean, the acting and the family, and it was just captivating for me. That's why I love my soaps, because it's a family thing. And very good. I'm glad you got around with all the good stuff. Hopefully you'll be in this movie.
Listen, one of the things that keeps us young is keeping on working, which I just love.
Exactly. It keeps you
going.
It's in your blood.
It is. Well, you know, I created a show on PBS that just went off the air. It was a show called Dragon Tale, animated for little kids. And that ran for 9 years on PBS, which was just a delight to have.
Wow, I got to check that out. Just my boys, well, they got too old for that, I guess, but their mother isn't. I'm more into this stuff. My father was, and he got me hooked on all that. And
right.
And he just says, it keeps you young thinking this way, and I go, yeah, I think maybe it helps a little bit. Wow.
Oh, my God. Well, I can't tell you how I appreciate you calling in. It means a lot to me. You know, for people to remember, I got to tell you, you know, as I get older and stuff, and it's so nice to – I never take it for granted. I've been very lucky in my life, and you know, and it really touches my heart when people still remember from back in the day.
And the only trouble is, when you think back in the day, that was quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it, because I said, oh, he was like 10 years ago. And I'm going, okay, am I turned 10 years? Probably 50 years ago.
No, yeah, that's what she did. Maggie and I are, we are both the hosts, but she's my best friend and surrogate mom. And, yeah, I called her, I go, okay, problem, I don't remember him being on. And she goes, he was in the 80s. I go, okay, if he was in the 80s, I will remember a little bit. And then when I looked it up, I'm like, I go, crap, Maggie was actually wrong for the first time in her life. And I, you know, and it was weird because she's usually so right on everything, but I just, you know, I thought it was hilarious when she was, you know, wrong. But, you know, I thought it was, you know, weird, but nice and
all
that. Okay, before we let you go, we have a couple of questions I do.
Okay.
What is the annual refrigerator by now? I'm just curious.
I'm sorry, what was the question? I'm in my car, so forgive me if I'm at a little.
Okay, what is in your refrigerator by now? Like, in your refrigerator? Oh, is there nothing in your home? Is there anything in your refrigerator at home? Or do you always, like, go out for dinner?
You know, I cook really well, but I love going out to dinner.
Oh, see?
I do.
Awesome.
See? No dishes. No pots and pans.
Exactly. I mean, yeah.
Milk and cereal?
Yeah.
You know what, guys, I'm having so much trouble hearing. I apologize.
I'm sorry.
No,
you know, I don't think it's you. I think it's Blog Talk. But before we let you go, yes, can you
come back
when you have anything to promote, even if you want to promote, like, a people bag on your head? Like, we don't care what it is. This, we would love to help you promote it, and we would love to have you back.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you. That is so kind. What a kind offer. And listen, again, thank you for asking me on the show.
We love it. And, you know, and David did a good job. David found you.
David, I want to thank David for contacting me and making this happen. I appreciate it, David.
Well, yeah. And please come back. Please come back, because we would really love you. Have you on again, my Maggie?
Please do.
All
right.
Have a great night, and I will email you a little later.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Have a great night.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, you guys, that was Wesley. A really great interview. Okay, Bobby, David.
I just joined the interview, and I forgot to ask.
Yeah, David, that was a very good interview lead.
Thanks, David.
Thank you,
David.
It took me a while until he brought up that he worked on Finders Keepers, who he was, because that's the only thing I remember him from. I mean, I didn't watch Mad Games that much growing up, even though I saw the reruns on GSN, and I was just about to, and I forgot to ask him, did he get a chance to work with Richard Dawson, or was he on Family Feud at the time?
Oh, excellent question.
Why is that down, Bobby, so you can't ask him next time?
Okay, I'll remember that.
Believe me, I always do that. Maggie knows I always do that. After we hang up with the interview, I call her upset, like, I forgot that, you know, and then Maggie always tell me, oh, don't worry about it. Just ask them next time. Bobby, when is your birthday again?
It's June 8th. It's a couple weeks from now.
Day before you.
Because you got a birthday on the 9th, and I think that's a Friday this week, this year.
Yeah,
it's a Friday.
David, for your birthday, so we will have Nathan Bodie back. On June 8th.
Great.
And June, my birthday, I'm working on getting awesome people on, so if anyone wants a tweet, I don't know, Laura, all my guys that I'm in love with, invite them on my birthday, so you guys are just totally welcome to do it.
Yeah. I did text you early, and not to ruin anything for today's days, and I won't ruin anything, but I do know that Nicole was on today, but
she
brought me up to an idea to bring Erin Zucker, who's now on the Ladies of the Lake.
Bobby, yeah. That was so sweet when you texted me yesterday about, what's the name called? I can't even use my head right now. About breaking news.
I do want to say this as a personal commentary. And I think I said this a few weeks ago.
Two hours behind you, Maggie. So, someone that I don't want to mention has been on, was on the 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock my time yesterday, so he didn't screw my life up yesterday. And,
take care. Have fun.
I just love being outside.
This weather, yeah.
Well, and,
Yeah, I understand, but the way I say, in my opinion, unless Melissa McCarthy and Alan Baldwin are playing these two people and are at or this is a live look into the Saturday Night Live studios and see what they're doing at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't want the real deal on my TV unless we go to war with North Korea. Or there's another situation with Russia where we have to start a war with them.
Okay, so we will have a show on Friday night at 6. No, I was thinking, you guys, do we want to have it at 6? Oh, it's been a while since we've had it at 7. And we have no guests coming on this week. What time do you think it's better for us?
Well, 6 might work good for me, but...
Yeah, me too.
But we can text and talk about it in the morning if you think...
Maggie, you think 6 would be good too, right?
Perfect. Then we're done before my white socks start to play.
Right.
Because we're on the West Coast.
And I just want to remind everyone that next weekend is Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
So so we might not have it so next Friday night on the 26th, because I'm going to be seeing Tim McGraw and Faith Hill on May 27th. I'm so excited. I've seen them in concert together like 3 times, but I love my Faith and Tim Hill. I mean, Faith Hill and Tim McGraw. I love them. I love them, and I cannot wait for the concert.
And a quick program reminder. Because of what happened a few weeks ago in the Chicago and Raleigh Durham market, they're going to re-air the General Hospital episode with Tracy's last day on May 29th. There'll be no Days or Lives that day because of the French Open, And I think Young and Restless is going because of the French Open.
No. Ah, shit!
Tennis. Tennis. Relax.
And besides, it's not that time now that Serena Williams is about to have a baby. So I mean,
Serena won't be there,
tennis,
so.
But,
no, I don't think so. No, I don't think they would. Unless Serena play when she's pregnant with my mom.
Not now, she can't.
Yeah.
No.
Young and the Restless and Bold and Beautiful will be on with new shows. I don't know if they're going to probably just have, well, they should have the new shows because I don't know how CBS was if they would run classes.
You know, sometimes CBS puts a new one on. New one, and I mean, because you know, they are putting the Tracy one on the 29th because you know, I was missing that a couple of weeks ago. So, if they hadn't done that, we would probably got stuck with the repeat,
right? Because I know that Friday, particularly on the East Coast and in where Maggie is, they preempted the Bold and Beautiful both Friday show and yesterday show. Because of the press conferences. So I don't know if they're going to be, like, catching up. So I don't know if CBS plan was to originally run a rerun of Bowling Green 4 or whatever, or just preempt that day or not. But as far as I know, that's new. So
according to my DVR, for the 22nd.
So that's basically just what's happening as far as the soap on the next couple of weeks. And unless I'm wrong here, I think the Friday before the finals of the French Open, I think it's going to get preempted. I might have to double check that on my T-Bowl thing because my T-Bowl didn't go far out to June 3rd yet. So I'll double check that and get back with you in the next few weeks on what's going on with the days.
Thank you.
Well, you know, yeah, because I think, you know, us not having so on. On the 26th, though, because, you know, you guys, so many people leave, go out of town a lot, you know, well, some used to go out of town every Memorial Day, but this year I'm not.
Usually when my school have, my old high school have my reunion weekend, so I'm usually going out there and just catching up on old times with the class of 96 and everybody, and everything like that.
Wait, what? Wait, 96. What year did you graduate?
Reunion. I graduated in 96. I was supposed to graduate in 1993, but because of my autism condition, they kept me out. They kept me until I was 21 and not 18.
They kept me back in first grade. Because I guess I wasn't so enough, which is kind of funny now, because I held my own radio show, but I was, you know, first grade. So, yeah, I get it, Bobby. I totally understand, you know, why,
because
you know.
Of my autism condition. I mean, sometimes I think every time I look at Theo on Days or look at what Lillian and all my children did and how they managed to handle their autism, It's the fact that you have two great actresses and actors playing them.
Well, I think with you, you probably have a very slight autism because my mom and dad, friends, both of their really good friends, had boys with autism.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, is really good. I mean, he might talk for a little while, but he will, you know, like when he's watching TV, he knows everything.
Right.
And then the other one, Eric's the one I used to babysit, passed away 2 years ago, not from autism, but he was having so many strokes. And they were going to do brain surgery on him, but, you know, they didn't want to do that because if they do brain surgery, he might just become invisible. And, you know, so, I mean, I always felt bad that he had seizures. Mm. And, I mean, I babysat him a lot. And
Right.
I learned a lot of things about Jesus.
I'm sorry, Carson.
Yeah.
I just think, really, it would be nice to get either Kyler, who's currently playing Theo on Days, or the last Lily that was on All My Children, Lena Ramon, who did a couple of,
mm-hmm.
who did the Hunger Games movies and another show on ABC after she left All My Children to come on the show one day. So,
yeah, you know what, Bobby?
Yeah.
Bobby, Twitter them.
Well, I don't know. I haven't kept in touch with Leanne since All My Children left the airways, but I am in touch with Kyler through Twitter. But so maybe I can just ask him.
All right.
My grandfather said.
On days, I'll even give him a shout out and my personal opinion behind it, just like you have done with cards and stuff and the Nick and Chelsea.
And then like my grandfather always told us growing up, you can't always ask. The worst thing women can tell you is no.
No, that's
you know, exactly. But okay, you guys, we should end the show because I don't want my voice to give out since we are having a show Friday night at 6. So, David, a very good call on Wesley.
I'm after 10 here in here on the East Coast, so I might as well just call it a night.
And remember tonight is a very sad night because Chicago PD is going away. Season finale and NCIS LA, Law and Order SVU, season finale is next week. And
right.
I'm going to be crying because all my love for primetime shows are going off. So,
well, that explains why
you
left me an IM yesterday morning saying that, and I asked you why. Because I thought maybe
it
had something to do with one of us. Because I was like going, I don't think David or I did anything bad by begging somebody to come on the show when so many times that they refused to do it or I call into a certain other show. So I don't think it had nothing to do with one of us.
No. I'm very happy you did this, David. I'm really happy you did. I thank you.
Yeah, David, we are very proud of
you.
Thank you,
David. I mean, I don't know who Wesley was because the only thing I would think of, I don't think I heard of this Wesley guy until he brought up Finders Keepers, and I realized that was the show I used to watch when I was a kid along with Double Deer and the Tom Kennedy version of The Price is Right because I had more time at night to watch that than the daytime version. Same with Wheel of Fortune when it was on during the nighttime and daytime at the time.
Was Wheel of Fortune on during the day?
Yeah, years ago on NBC.
Why don't I remember
years
that?
Ago.
Oh.
It was.
I do not remember that. You guys, let's end it here tonight, and then we will be back on Friday night, and thank you again to Wesley.
And I'll text you in the morning about what we talked about. Have a good night, y'all.
Okay. Good night. Take care, everybody.
Bye.